Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind.
Hey, what's going on? It's your man Casanova Wings with another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. As usual, I got to thank everybody for supporting the podcast, rocking with me for this long. This is about 3 years I've been doing this, and I definitely want to show everybody love and telling y'all I appreciate y'all. And I know I keep saying that a lot of things are coming. They are. But, you don't understand. A lot of things take time, planning, money, effort, everything has to come together, but it is coming together, and you're going to be really, really happy with everything that we're doing here. Also, new format. I'm letting you know that you need to start downloading the app, the Culture Radio app, all new, upgraded, out of beta testing. My network is fully up now, schedules, stations, everything. So definitely download that, because what I'm going to be doing is that every Monday, I'm going to be downloading the new podcast exclusively on the Culture Radio every Monday. So before you hear it on any platform, iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll be able to hear my podcast first exclusively every Monday on the Culture Radio. It'll be on the playlist. If you want to hear it during the station, it's going to be on my station, Black Men's Mental Health Radio, every Tuesday at 8 o'clock, and then it'll be available for everybody Wednesday. So remember, Monday I'm dropping it is on the playlist. You go to the playlist and you're gonna hear the exclusive first time to hear it on there. Tuesday you're gonna hear it on the Culture Radio at 8 o'clock, if you don't want to listen to the playlist, whatnot. And then Wednesday it will be available on all platforms. So if you want to hear my podcast early, definitely download the Culture Radio. All right, it's off Google and iTunes. All right, now if the schedule changes, I'll let you know, but that's what we're gunning for. This podcast is about responsibility. I was having a conversation the other day with somebody, and this is a very good conversation that we were having regarding relationships in the Black community. And she asked me a question that really, really was a deep question. And the way I answered it, I said, I have to do a podcast on this. She asked me, why aren't other successful Black men trying to lead or telling other Black men to be successful, to go to college, get a job, do the right things like that? And when she asked that, I was thinking to myself, why aren't we doing it? Then I said, I already know the answers of why we aren't doing it. So let's go back. Back in the day, as a Black man, as any man, there were certain things we knew. We knew as men that when we were born, we don't have any value. Our value has to be built. Usually in your 20s to 30s, you're building your wealth, you're building your who you are as a man. You're going to college, you're working hard, you're building. And a lot of times along the way, you would meet a good woman, and that woman would help you build as well, and you become successful. Or on the other side, you're building yourself, and then you meet a woman when you're established, you have a good job, you have savings, investments, you're just at another level of life. You're a man, you build your wealth. Nowadays, and also that wealth brought you certain things. It brought you prestige, it brought you attention, it brought you opportunities. Particularly as a Black man, it brought you things that were outside of the scope of being a Black man. Like, not saying that racism doesn't exist when you're rich, but when you had a certain amount of money, you were shielded from certain racism in America. You had a lot of money, you could live in affluent neighborhoods, you could dine with people that wouldn't dine with you normally, and rub shoulders and things like that. I'm not saying that back in the days when you had money, it guaranteed that there was no prejudice or racism against you, but it was less because you had money. So, you know, you had artists like Sammy Davis Jr. and Muhammad Ali, and these artists that, of course, these figures that we knew, of course, were black, and they did face racism, but not on the level that every day did. Their status and their wealth brought them a certain amount of prestige. They were able to go into places and to things that regular black people could. They were able to say things and do things that regular black people weren't. So we were taught, young as black men, that if we build ourselves to a certain point of status, that status not only made us eligible for the best women, the best opportunities, but also made us eligible to bypass one of our biggest factors that we fought was racism. So there was a lot of incentive for a man to be a successful man. It was a lot of incentive for a man to struggle and fight through everything to be at a certain status, because that granted you something that just being a normal black man wouldn't. And we aspired that. Even going down the road to nowadays, you know, we had, you know, our figures, the Eddie Murphys, the Bill Cosbys, the, you know, the Diddy's and people like that, that, you know, got to a certain success that it was amazing. And they did things to next level, and they inspired us to want to be famous, wanting to get money, wanting to get status, wanted us to do it right. We had doctors, black doctors and lawyers and people that we were like, wow, when we get to that status, this is the life we're going to live. And it was inspiration. It was like, wow, you know what? I want to fight to be on that level. You know what I'm saying? Because we had examples of it. So it was an incentive for a man to go to school or whatever, just to be successful and be a good man and go to that level. There were incentives, especially for black people, black men. Now, there is no incentive anymore. When this young lady was asking me, you know, why don't you teach other men to be successful like you? And I said, how can I teach another black man to be successful like me when all they see in the news is successful black men that are, their lives are being ruined? Now, this is not a discussion of whether Diddy or anybody else didn't do something. So I'm not here to have that discussion at all. That is not what I'm here to talk about. I already had a podcast about Diddy and the situation, so you know how I feel about that. So in no way am I, this is going to be about that. But back in the days, when you looked at these figures, they were bigger than life. Now, all these bigger than life figures are being persecuted, convicted, thrown in jail, bashed, you name it. As a young black man, if I tell another black man, be successful, right? Go out there, get an education. Go out there and do your best. Go out there and be successful. What is the incentive? Now, let's break it down. Let's just break this down now. When a man goes to college, right, he's focusing on his college. He's focused on getting a good job, right? Now, in college, if a man's focused, yeah, he may be having a little bit of fun, but a man's focused. He's not in relationships. He's not having sex with a lot of women, things like that. So at the end of the day, he's not very experienced sexually. I mean, he's good, does his thing, but, you know, he leaves college. He's working hard to build his career, right? He dates here and there, but he's building his career. His focus is on himself. Then he meets a woman. Now, for a man, back in the days, the better the man you are, the better the woman you got. That was just a rule of thumb. You was the man when, you know what I'm saying, you got to a certain status, you got the baddest chicks out there. And all the rest of the men would look at you envious. Man, he got the flyest chicks. One of a man's key items to success or idea of success is the woman he has on his hand. When you see a man walking down the block with a bad woman, bad as in she looks good, you automatically think that guy is doing something special in his life. He is somebody, because the woman he got on his hand, on his arm, is a direct reflection on his status. So you see these bad women with this guy. You knew this guy was successful, and it was a rule of thumb that you get success, you get the bad woman. You get the hottie. You get the fine woman. It ain't like that no more. The bad women now, the Instagram chicks, the ones that got the bodies and all. One, most of it is fake, because at the end of the day, most of them went down to Miami or wherever and got a BBL. So that's fake. Two, most of the bad women now that that we want, that are like, wow, it's fine. They the ones that got baby that kids already. They come, they're broke, they got kids, things like that. So even if now you look, you got money, you doing good, and you get those women, they come with problems. Fake ass, fake titties, kids, problems. It's not like anymore, you know, you meet a bad chick, she don't got no kids, no nothing, that becomes your wife. No. They all got kids. They all got. And then they have these high standards of, oh, I need a man with this and this and that. Then now, even the normal regular women now come with a huge body count. See, back in the days, you meet a woman, she was a virgin or she was pretty close to it. She hasn't had many sexual experiences. So she beat you. Y'all have a good time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, she's at a point where she is able to experience new things sexually. You know, she's able to learn things with you. When she falls in love with you, the sex gets better. You know, boom. You know, so you was able to get a woman like that. You was able to get a woman that, you know, her chastity was still relatively new. You know, she didn't have too many, you know, boyfriends. You know, maybe she had one or two sex partners before, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, when she gets with you, it's a new experience. She can experience new things with you, grow. Okay. Or she was a virgin, you know, whatever, either one. Now, most women before the age of 20 have had an average about 15 to 20 men. That's just statistically. They've had an average of 15 to 20 men. Do you understand what that means for a man's ego and a man's sexual encounter with a woman that he wants to fall in love with? This woman, now, men come in all shapes and sizes, right? So at the end of the day, if a woman had 15 to 20 guys, that means she's had 15 to 20 different sizes of penises and 15 to 20 different sexual experiences with all those guys doing different things. And I'm going to break this down further, okay? The body is a natural resource of commonality, meaning the body by itself gets used to certain things. The body itself, when you take it to a certain height, remembers that height. It keeps a recording of that, meaning that if I experience an orgasm or I experience a sensation or a feeling, that body records it and remembers it. And your standard of pleasure or your standard of feeling goes up. It's like drugs. You take a drug. I think that what people say about drugs is that your first high is the best high, and then everything else you're trying to do is getting back to that high. So that's why people will get more drugs and push themselves more, because they're trying to get back to that original high. I guess. I don't know. I'm not a drug guy. I don't do drugs. But, you know, the body is the same way, and virtually is the same thing. If a woman met a man out of the 15 guys, and this is statistically probably true, those 15, 20 guys, she met some guy that's like 10 inches, right? That is hitting spots in her vagina that no other man has ever hit. Going so deep, right? That even if it hurts her, she has felt that man in her that deep, okay? So you come along, and the vagina understands that it's been penetrated a certain deepness before. Now, I've had women say, well, you know, they hurt me. I didn't like it. I like the smaller one. Okay, that's fine. But when penis size is attached to masculinity, how manly a man is, I don't care if a woman says, oh, it hurt. I didn't like it. But your body still knows that that's a man that was that deep in you. See, you're not following me here. I don't think you're really following this. You know, some people may say, oh, Cass, are you insecure? Well, I'm nowhere to need be insecure. All right. At all. I ain't the biggest brother. I definitely ain't the smallest, but I'm good. So I'm not speaking of insecurity in myself or anything like that. I'm speaking facts here. Your body, a woman's body will remember that man tearing it up. And let's get away from penis size, because I want people to go, Cass is obsessed. No, I'm not. Oral sex. A man licked it. See, a woman's body, I think I said this in a previous podcast before, I'm not sure. A woman's body is made to receive pleasure in multiple ways. And let me explain why this was done. See, a man, when he ejaculates, it's the same thing. Let's be real, guys. You know that when you come with a woman or you come whacking off, it is the same feeling. It's that relief, it's that good feeling. You know what I'm saying? Now, mentally, you'd be excited because the girl, she's bad and all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, when you get to that ejaculation part, it's pretty much the same, you know, more or less, but it is the same. Let's be honest. Women can have an orgasm so many different ways. Men, we're going to have an orgasm one way, but a woman, she can have a clitoris orgasm. She can have an orgasm, a G-spot orgasm. She can have an orgasm from an anal orgasm, sucking a titty orgasm, a sensual orgasm. Women can have several ways of having orgasms. And that was made for her to be acceptable to any man she meets. At the end of the day, she could be pleased by any man. If she got a man that the penis was too small, then you know what I mean? You may not get a vagina G-spot type orgasm, but, you know, he's able to lick it or hit the man in the boat. You know what I'm saying? Get that orgasm, suck your titties or whatever. Women were just made to experience orgasms in a whole lot of different ways. Men weren't. Now, if you meet a woman that had 15 to 20 guys and she experienced it all, and you come along and only give her one of all, after a while it's going to be annoying. Why do you think most women really seriously talk about they divorce men because they're just not happy? I'm telling you 100% it has to. And this is just my theory. So please do not take me, you know what I'm saying? But my theory is because a woman done experience so much that you by yourself can't fulfill her. She was out in the club partying with her friends, having a social life, being let into the club for free, being on boats, hanging out with ballers, being with her girls, having sex with a whole bunch of different guys, living her life. Then she meets you that can only give her one type of life. Of course she's bored. Of course she's not happy. She wants to be fulfilled because she's done experience so much life, so much opportunity and access has been thrown to her that at the end of the day, she's supposed to stop everything and just experience that with you. So physically, we're doomed when a man does everything he has to do and meet a woman, and that's the woman he has to pick from. Let's not talk about the women that in their 30s probably have a kid or two by different baby daddies. And they're just going to settle for you because you're the simp that's willing to. And then if you are successful, you meet a woman, chances are she's going to want to divorce you. And then you can have a prenup and everything, but courts are throwing out prenups. There's two things that are wrong with prenups. One, courts don't make them absolute, meaning that if you have a prenup and that's the prenup, there's nothing to say about it. They don't make it like that. So they will either fight the prenup to get it adjusted, which is to me is unfair. Or two, a woman will keep in court for years, you spending so much money that you eventually settle, not because you can't win the cases, because the courts won't close it. They keep it going. Lawyers get paid. So they're going to keep telling these women, oh, we could fight this prenup. We could do that because they want to get paid. So then after a while, you get so beat with court fees and time that you give in to the demands. So there's no more incentive for a man on any level right now to be successful. Because what do we get for our success now? And let's not talk about the famous people. Let's see, you know, let's not, I'm not going to talk about the Diddy's, RK's, but let's not talk about them. Let's talk about like LeBron James, Michael Jordan's, Eddie Murphy's. People that at the end of the day didn't do anything living their life. But at the end of the day, tabloids. At the end of the day, they're looking for something. See, you can't even make a mistake when you're on that level because they will freaking pound you. Pound you. I said before in the Diddy podcast was, unfortunately, Diddy has that videotape of him beating Cassie. See, with that, that's enough ammo for everybody and their mother to accuse Diddy of everything and people to believe it. Now, I'm not saying that he's right for that at all. Not at all. Not at all. But at the end of the day, when you open those floodgates, now you got 9-year-olds and parents of teens or older adults back in the day when they talk about Diddy. It's just ridiculous now. It's the floodgates. Now, he may have made that mistake with Cassie. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, is it really all that? But the floodgates are open because he did one thing and everything else must be true. R. Kelly had that one videotape with that young girl. And now he's a monster. Even though what he was convicted of wasn't even young girls. It wasn't even young girls. It was girls that were legal. But at the end of the day, you did that one thing. Everything's all right. You know, it's not like back in the days like O.J. Simpson. You know, O.J. Simpson, we were at a height where like, yo, O.J. Simpson killed two white people and got away with it. Not saying I advocate for the killing of anybody in any way. They did not deserve to die no matter what happened. So don't get me wrong. But we all know O.J. probably did it. But see, he was a status symbol that he was rich. He was famous. And he got away with it. That was like, wow. You know, I could get to a point in my life as a black man that I could kill white people and get away with it. Not saying that's a good thing. So please do not quote me. I'm not saying Anna Nicole. I'm not saying all of them people deserved it. No, not saying that. Please don't quote me. But it showed that at the end of the day, we saw for so many years white people get away with killing and doing wrong. And just because they got money and status, they were able to get with it. Finally, we were able to be on the same level as white people where we got enough money where we can get away with stuff. But it seems it's not like that no more. Now, I'm not saying that you should be able to do wrong stuff because you're successful. Don't get me wrong. I had a whole podcast about men being responsible, taking responsibility. Even with the Diddy situation, I said at the end of the day, he did it himself. And as a black man, you got to watch yourself when you get up there. So I don't want nobody to try to quote me wrong because I'm not saying, you know, no, not at all. But there was incentives for us to get to that level. Now there's no incentive for a black man to be successful. It's actually more incentive for us to not be successful. Now, statistically, all these black women that got kids, if you look at any successful black woman or black model or black woman doing it, they all got kids and all their baby daddies are bums. All their baby daddies are niggas that are drug dealers, hustlers, just not doing shit, want to be rappers. I mean, that's pretty much most of these baby mamas. are just bum dudes, dudes that don't care. But they're the ones, they say, my standards are 6 foot tall, 10 inch penis, making at least six figures, have enough time. Like, their standards are ridiculous, but their standards aren't for the baby daddy. And these are also successful. I don't, when I see these women, these independent women walking around like, I'm independent, I'm doing my thing, and then they have kids, their baby daddy's a bum. Because see, the thing is, 20% of the black men are populating 90% of the black of black males. Well, black females. These are the men that these women go to the club with, go to the club and meet up and hook up for one night stands. These are the men that they hook up with because they got big dicks and they can fuck real good and they just smashing them. No type of relationship. These are the men that they go on their trips to Jamaica or they go somewhere and they meet up with somebody down there, hook up and have a good time. These are the men that they date, not seriously, but even before they establish a relationship with them or idea where it's going, get pregnant because they're having unprotected sex. It's 20% of the men. These are the men that at the end of the day weren't trying to be baby daddies, weren't trying to be with them, just having a good time. And that's who they choose to share their womb with. And then they choose to have these babies. Because think about it. There are so many things a woman can do before she gets pregnant. You know, so many. Abstinence, one, but you know, you want to have sex, birth control. But you know what? Let's say, you know, you don't want the pills and the extra shit and all that. And you know what I'm saying? Condoms. But let's say you just like the feeling of rawness and stuff like that. Morning after pill. Like, those are 4 to 5 things you can do to not get pregnant. But women choose to still get pregnant by these guys they are not in relationships with. Then use that and play the victim. I'm a strong black woman because I am a mother. I have to make decisions that are great. But you made the worst decision in your life by having a baby by a man that you're not with. When you could have woke up that morning, you could have got 4 or 5 nuts in you and woke up that morning, took your ass to CVS, Walgreens, picked up a morning after pill and been good. But you chose to have a baby. Now he's a deadbeat dad. Now you're a strong, independent woman. You're strong because you're a mother. You're a single mother. Because it's a status quo now. It's actually encouraged and celebrated for a woman to be a single mother. It's celebrated. So it's a benefit to her to be a single mother because the culture embraces it. And it's also an incentive for a black, only an incentive for a black man to be a guy with multiple kids because it seems like that's the men that women want to fuck. Because most baby daddies, when you talk to a woman about her baby father, he has other kids with other women. So the incentive is better for me to be a deadbeat dad out here. At least I get coochie. At least I'm out here fucking and getting cat all the time. Because see, those type of guys have practice. That's why the women want them, because they have practice. They don't do nothing in their life. They have practice. So of course they're going to be killing the coochie. They're going to be breaking her back and giving her pleasure she never had before. Because that's all he does. He doesn't have a career. He doesn't have focus. He's out here hustling, whatever. And he has enough practice. And women like that. Also, they like a bad boy. They like the mystique of that. Oh, he's a bad boy. Oh, blah, blah, blah. He's aggressive. Blah, blah, blah. They like all that shit. And they share their wounds with these men all the time. Then you, a good guy, comes. Now, and then it's expected for you to take care of not only her, but her kids. Now you got to deal with her, a bummy ass baby daddy, and these kids telling you you're not more dirty when they get mad. There's no incentive. There's no incentive at all. So what can I tell a young man that's going to make him want to be successful when at the end of the day, the guys that are winning are the bums? Because these are the guys that women want. These are the guys that women are having sex with and they want and they're lustful for and all that stuff. They don't want the nice guy. They don't want the... I saw this one thing on TV. You know, Kendra G, she has her little show where she interviews women about, you know, what they want in a man, stuff like that. So this one girl comes on and she's like, yo, yeah, I was talking to a doctor and stuff like that, you know, but... I asked him what else he wants to do. And he was like, what are you talking about? I'm a doctor. She was like, well, you know, she's like, I didn't continue to talk to her because I don't need a man that's going to be settled for just one thing. I need goals and ambition. Bitch, he's a fucking doctor. Like, out of all the professions in the world, that is probably the highest of high professions. Like, doctors make money. They make bank. And it's a fucking doctor. What more do you really want besides being a doctor? Like that's like next level. You got to go to school for so many years. You got a skill that is valuable across the world. He's a fucking doctor. And you telling me that that isn't good enough? Like if a doctor can't win... Like you telling me a doctor can't get a baddie because he doesn't want to do what else more can a doctor do? Don't doctors work like 14, 15 hour shifts doing surgery? You know what I'm saying? Helping save lives and shit. But that is still not good enough because it's not bad enough. You know, she wants a side hustle. What side hustle can a doctor do? You're his woman. You be his side hustle. You come in, baby. You're a doctor. You know what? But I'm going to do these investments over here. I'm going to do this over here. I'm going to start a real estate company. I'm going to invest our money in it. You know, you be his side hustle. But you want this man to be a doctor and be an entrepreneur on the side? Like, see, if a doctor can't win, we're doomed. And you got a lot of women in the comments like, yeah, girl, I get you. I get what you're saying, girl. Like, you're doomed if a doctor's not good enough. We're doomed. We are freaking doomed. So there is no incentive. So in my conversation, bringing it back, I told him, I was like, what incentive can I tell a man? You know, I was fortunate. I was very fortunate to meet my wife. You know, the caliber of woman she is. I'm very fortunate. And I treat my wife like a queen because I understand what I have. I understand that I have a diamond in the rough. I understand what I got. And don't get me wrong, we've been together 21 years. And there have been times in a relationship where I almost messed it up. I'm not talking about cheating on, but just in general, just almost messed it up, took her for granted. You know, because I think in all relationships, we go through those periods in a relationship, especially when they're long term, where you're questioning things and all that stuff. But I don't do that anymore. Even when I get mad, upset, I say to myself, you got a good one. You know, she may be bratty and spoiled or have her issues here and there. But at the end of the day, I got a good one. And I'm grateful for that. I'm completely grateful for that, because at the end of the day, what's out there for us men is not good. You know, I got to tell a guy, you know, you got to meet a girl young. And now it's being bashed. Like literally when a man is 35, he wants to date a girl 21, 22. Now he seems as a predator. It's not good. Even though women all like older guys, they love older guys, but men like a younger woman. Oh, that's creepy. Oh, you just want to control her. No, is that I get better goods when I date a younger woman. Now, unfortunately, most younger women are taught to be promiscuous. It's encouraged. So a lot of, like I said, 15 to 20 guys by the time they're 21. But I mean, but you know, they're out there. There's some good women out there, but you got to find them young, because you meet a woman around your age and they're 35. She done been ran through. She got kids. So at the end of the day, it's hard. It's hard because nothing you do as a man now is encouraged as positive. Nothing you do as a man now is encouraged as, you know what? Let's make this happen. This is good for us. So to the original question in mind, I told her there's nothing I could tell a young man except live the best life you want to live. Because there's no path anymore that I could tell a young man. And then she says something else. She's like, well, what do you tell your son? I tell my son, try to live the best life you can. Meet a woman like your mother. And just try to stay focused without being influenced by outside. Because I can't tell my son, if you go to college, you know, that was, when I was growing up, it was like, you go to college, you're guaranteed a good life. That's how it was. Growing up in the 80s, early 90s, you go to college, you get that degree, you're guaranteed a good life. I can't tell my son that now. There are people that are going to get certifications that are making more money than people with master's degrees right now. It wasn't like that back in the day. It wasn't like that. And if it was a trade, it was a trade that was crucial to the infrastructure, like a plumber, electrician, those type of trades, people, you know, just went to school and they made money. You know what I'm saying? That was different. But now ain't like that. I know people that got master's degrees that are looking for jobs, that are looking for work. I know people with bullshit ass certifications making more money. And it's hard now. So what can I tell my son? It makes it hard to parent because, like, what can I really tell my son? What can I tell my son that's going to make him say, oh, okay, cool, I should do that. All right, thanks for the knowledge, Dad, because how I was raised is different than how he's raised. Life is completely different now than it was when I was growing up. So what can I tell my son? What can I say to him to encourage him that doing it right is going to give the possibilities of a good life? What incentives? So I just tell my son, live the best life he can. Stay out of trouble. Stay focused. And when you meet a woman, make sure that she is for you before you make a commitment and have a baby. That's all I can do. Is generalize life because I can't give him specifics anymore. You know, I can't give him, you know, only thing I can tell him about a woman, meet a woman like your mother, low body count that really wants marriage and love, you know, but what can I really tell him? Because contrary to what I may teach him in the house, as soon as he goes in the world, he gets a reality check. Because how I'm saying it, the real world isn't doing it. You know, I can tell a boy is a boy, boy's a boy, girl's a girl. You know? But he goes out in the real world, everybody's telling him something different. Laws are being passed. He's told that this is things are options. But I may teach him differently in my house. See, back in the days, it was, You get taught something in the house, it got reinforced out there. And even if there were elements out there that went against it, the majority of society, of culture, really went that way. So, you know, it wasn't a hard choice for young people. You know, of course, there was always influences out there, things like that, don't get me wrong. But in general, it wasn't they're telling you that you have to do that. You know what I mean? They were like, you know, these are options, these are how people live, or this is what goes on in the world. Okay, cool. But it wasn't like you got to accept it for yourself now. Now it's like that. Now they're telling you have to or you're bad. It wasn't like one side of the aisle or the other. I get it, you know. Everybody got their preference or their choices. But now you're being told that this is what it is and you have to do it or you're a bad person. And if you don't, there's penalties. You get canceled, you get jailed, you get sued. I mean, it's so much that how can I teach my son morals when the lines of morality are blurred? So my conversation ended saying, there's nothing I could do for young men. I could tell them my experiences, what I've been through, my suggestion, but there's nothing I can do to convince a young man anymore of the incentives of being a good man. There isn't. And that's sad. And being a black man is even worse. Because at the end of the day, everything that is masculine about us, everything that's about that could be success for us, a negative comes with it. So we're navigating a life that everything tells us that our life is not supposed to be happy. And that's sad. But it's reality. I didn't make this up. I didn't choose it. I didn't write the rules. It's just reality. I decided in my life to live my life the way I wanted to live it. Not due to any stereotypes or morality. I said I'm doing what I want to do in life to be happy. Because whatever I do is always going to be vilified or looked at as negative. So I'm just going to live my life. I mean, shoot, I remember me and my wife, we're very affectionate, right? We are very affectionate in public when it comes to certain environments. You know, we are not ashamed to show our love. We went down to one of her family's get-togethers, right? And this happened a few times, not only at family get-togethers or your friends and stuff like that, but just I'll just use this one example, but it's happened before. And me and my wife are very affectionate. We've been together so many years, but I still love to hug my wife. I still love to cuddle with my wife. I still love to kiss her. We hold hands. You know, she sits on my lap. I mean, we're a lot of people that meet us think that we're like newlyweds, that we haven't been married or together for 21 years because of how affectionate we are with each other, how loving I am to her, how loving she is to me. People don't really think that we've been together this long. And people have said crazy stuff, particularly this one day in a family member, cousin, you know, younger person was like, golly, why are you so emotional with each other? Why are you so loving? I'm like, because I love my wife. My wife is beautiful. I think she's hot. I can't keep my hands off her. Oh man, that's too much. You're doing too much, man. I'm like, what? So loving my wife is too much? And it's not like, you know, we're all each other on the couch, you know, making out, nothing like that. No, nothing on that stream. But, you know, she's sitting on my lap. We're, you know, we're holding each other, you know, holding hands. And I'm like, baby, you need this. Oh, I love you. Boo. You know, she calls me boo-boo. I call her boo-boo. Hey, boo-boo, you need this. I love you, baby. Boo-boo-boo. You know, so, you know, we're very affectionate. When it comes to that, we wear our emotions out, you know. But people have problems with that. Oh, that's too much. I can't be like that. And it's funny because all those people that are saying that don't have successful relationships themselves, but that's another conversation. But yeah, it's abnormal to be in a good, healthy relationship now. But you know, that's another discussion I want to get to. But I appreciate your listeners' podcast, you know. The conversation with the person ended pretty much me saying there's really nothing I can do to encourage him. I can tell him my story and my opinion, but I can't sit there and actually prove that the path of success is going to lead to success. I can't do it. In today's age, you can't do it. So just live the life you feel you want to live with your best intentions and surround yourself with good people. And good people are judged through their actions, not through their talk. And that's all I can tell my son. That's how we ended the conversation. But so appreciate you for listening to this podcast. Once again, Men Are Meant to Be Broken, the book. I am working on it. It is 99.9% finished. I just have not had the time lately to sit down and just polish it. But I am doing that. Just a lot of stuff has come up this month. Yeah, definitely getting back to the product. I got a whole new men's line called Ebony Mojo, which is just for men. So I'm working on that as well under the Cultures.Skin brand. So I'm working on that as well. I am finishing my cream, my facial cream. That is phenomenal. I use it. My family uses it. And our skin is glowing.
And my products will be up pretty soon. I would say the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're really pushing things. I'm trying not to do the typical, oh, we're dropping 2025. I'm trying to get it for Christmas. So, you know, we go to website and buy it for your husband, buy it for your, you know, buy it for your woman, buy, you know what I'm saying? So that's my target gate date is to have it up in December. So you could do your Christmas shopping with me. Also with Men Are Meant to Be Broken, I am trying to launch it in November. I am planning a book tour with it. So there's a lot going on right now. You can go to my website though at CasanovaWilliams.com and keep up with everything I'm doing. I regularly will update that. I've been going to a lot of events, a lot of things. If you follow Couple Chris with me and my wife, we've been doing a lot of reviews. And then also Divorce Not an Option. You know, this podcast, you know, of course, Black Men's Mental Health, but you know, Divorce Not an Option. Me and my wife are certified life coaches. My wife actually got her certification in relationship life coaching. So our thing is definitely about helping couples out, you know, really trying to pinpoint things that of discussion and helping, you know, I call it, you know, a little therapy for a half hour, you know, without the bill, therapy without the bill, you know. So definitely check it out. Once again, I appreciate everybody for listening to this podcast and supporting me. And I look forward to the future and everything we're going to do. I'm excited. All right. Until next time.